Well, today's Palm Sunday, so I thought it'd be good just to look at John's Gospel and John's account of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. I'm just going to read from John chapter 12, verses 12 to 16. The next day, a great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Do you know, there's always a danger of premature judgment, isn't there? You think, I can think of several examples. The kid who grew up as a teenager in gangs and now has gone on to be a pastor or something like that. We think of people at one point in their lives and we think, gosh, what a handful they were. I didn't have anything like that in the youth group when me and Tracy were youth work leaders, but we had a few kids who were a bit of a handful. And two of them in particular now have gone on. One's an assistant minister in a church, and another one is, well, a while back I heard him preach, and it was quite wonderful. His grasp of scripture and his enthusiasm. And, you know, like I said, they weren't bad kids, but you thought, you know, when you used to do your tour, you just wondered and you ask a question, you think, crikey, are they ever going to get it? Well, there's a danger of premature judgment. And actually, there's a sort of danger of that here, isn't there? Jesus is travelling up to Jerusalem for Passover. He enters the city and he provokes two reactions. One from the crowd and one from the disciples. Well, what can we learn about these reactions? Firstly, the crowd. They're very enthusiastic. They're quoting scripture. They're actually quoting Psalm 118. And it's all about the coming of the Lord. And they see, perhaps they seem to think that this scripture is being fulfilled. And the other scripture they quote is about God's King coming. And it's rather interesting, this, because this business about Jesus riding on a colt, it echoes Zechariah 9, verse 9. And it's about a king coming, interesting enough, in the context of the passage, on a donkey, which means the king was coming in peace. But the context of that passage in Zechariah is about the Lord delivering his people from their enemies. So this is a king who defeats the enemies of God's people, defeats the greatest enemy of all, but in the most unexpected manner. So we would have thought, well, that's very positive, they've got it. Then we look at the disciples, and we basically see in verse 16, they failed to understand at that time. They didn't really get it. I suspect they thought it was a good thing, you know, the crowd was reacting positively, but they hadn't really understood all they'd seen and heard about Jesus. We note at one point Peter understands him to be the Messiah, but one of the things, if you read particularly in Mark's Gospel, they can't quite understand what type of Messiah. They can't visualize a Messiah will come and lay down his life and die. They haven't got it, despite all they've seen. But then we get a retrospective reaction. A few days later, Jesus is arrested, and the crowds are absent. Now, don't get me wrong, not to condemn the crowds. I'm sure there were good people among them. But there is not the sort of reaction we'd expect. If they'd really thought the king was coming, maybe there'd have been an uprising. Maybe they'd have attempted to rescue him. They don't get it. Even the disciples don't get it. But the disciples actually get it eventually. There's a realization that everything they've seen and witnessed is the fulfillment of Scripture. Some people sometimes say to me, well, I can kind of get God in the New Testament, but I don't get this Old Testament stuff. Well, the Old Testament points towards Jesus. It shows that he is active. The actual things we got here, the actual words we got from Zechariah are quite notable. And actually, just after them comes these words that are very, very interesting. In Zechariah chapter 12, and I think the disciples would have related to this. In Zechariah chapter 12, we read this. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and will mourn for him as one mourns an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves a firstborn son. There's going to come a time for them, which we see in disciples, where God's Spirit is poured out, and they understand. It's interesting, to be honest, John focuses particularly on this verse in the crucifixion. Christ was pierced. Christ suffered. There's a sense here of mourning for sin. And the passage very much continues in that vein. But rather interestingly, it ends in chapter 13. Don't blame me, the guy who put the chapters in the Bible, I don't think always did a good job. The conclusion of this mourning comes in chapter 13 of Zechariah, verse 1. On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. Christ comes as the king. The triumph may sort of be premature, but the triumph comes. And the triumph is this, that grace and mercy is poured out on those who mourn their sin, on those who realize they can never live up to God's standard. You know, the actual word sin in the Hebrew is an interesting one. It actually means to miss the mark. It's like if you're in an archery competition and you miss the target or it fell short. That's another way of explaining it. Whatever we do, even our best intentions, and people can be jolly good, it will always fall short of God's goodness, as we'll be seeing later, as I speak later. But God's grace and mercy reaches out to us. It doesn't make our deeds better, but it actually motivates them. It is his grace and mercy that reaches out to us. And that actually is the reaction, the right reaction. Not to just name Jesus as king and forget about it the rest of the time we're not in church. A lot of people can do that. But to live in the light of what this king brings. Grace and mercy to an undeserving people. Let's just pray.